Hello again, everyone. This is Nicole, and we're at about 2 past the hour, so we're going to get started here in just a moment. If you've just joined us, if you'd go and grab a journal and a pen, if you don't have one already, because we'll be using that during our time together tonight. We'll give everyone 20 seconds or so to go do that, and then we'll begin. Okay, let's get this party started. So welcome, everyone, to Second Simplicity Week 2. I just want to take a moment to orient everybody to where we're at. This is our breakout call week, and on this particular breakout call, we're going to be focusing on the second simplicity of your personal practice. Now, concurrently with this call, Zach and Clint are also conducting calls on philosophy and integral theory, and we're recording all the calls so that you'll be able to download and listen to them at a later date, so you're not missing out on anything. And because we're recording, to ensure the quality of the recording, I've already muted everyone's line. So if you're talking into the ethers and no one's answering, that's why. And I'd ask that you keep your line muted during the call. I'll be taking some questions at the end, and at that time, if you want to ask a question, you'll want to hit *6 on the phone to unmute and speak. And I'm actually hearing a couple people, so if anyone's not on mute right now, if you'd hit *6 again, that will mute your line. And just to keep us moving along and end on time, I'm probably not going to stop for questions until the end, but if you have an issue, like you can't hear me, or if you have something that's really burning for you that absolutely can't wait, then you can unmute again by hitting *6 and feel free to ask me. So briefly, again, this call is being recorded, and you're all on mute until we take questions at the end. So that's the frame setting, and let's just jump into what we have planned for today. So for those of you who tuned into the call last week, we kind of stayed high level, and Mark really took the lead in explaining the concept of second simplicity, and he gave us a lot of different examples of how this shows up in our lives and what moving towards a second simplicity, or what moving to living beyond complexity, which is the name of this course, actually means. So I'm not going to go into this broadly again on this call just for time's sake. And if you happen to miss the call or would like to learn more, you can always download last week's call if you missed it, or download Zach and Clint's call after tonight. And, of course, please join us next week for the third call of the month for an integration question and answer and further explanation. And I am hearing somebody in the background, so if you could hit *6 if you're not on mute, that'd be great. Okay, so I'm going to stay fairly high level as it relates to practice this week as well. And in future sessions with me, we'll talk more about specific concepts in the course like discernment or kindness, and we'll talk specifically about practices that help cultivate those important issues in our lives. But this week, again, I'm going to use a high-level continuum of practice that's another example of the simplicity to complexity to second simplicity, holy trinity, if you will, or law of threes. Before I do that, I just want to, again, offer just a brief definition of what we're talking about when we say practice, just to get everybody on the same page. And also, I'm going to offer two different ways to hold practice as we go forward. So as I mentioned last week, practice is really anything we do in our lives that contributes to our well-being, that contributes to our health, to our growth as a human being, such that we continue to become just kinder, more compassionate, happier, more fulfilled with our lives, basically. And practice, as I like to say, kind of helps you live your life in high definition and be just more awake and aware of your impact on the world. And again, if you take it one step deeper, it's not, again, merely for your own personal benefit, though it certainly does fulfill personal aims. It starts there, really. And then it kind of extends outward into increasing circles of influence to friends, to colleagues, to our lovers, you know, people that we encounter every day. And then again, extends out from there in service of all beings. And broadly, I'm going to talk about two ways to actually practice, at least in context. So one is by the practices that we engage in maybe a couple times a week, maybe every day, where we delineate, you know, this is our practice time, whether it be first thing in the morning, right after work, before bed. And we sort of hold that sacred container of set-aside time to work on a specific aspect or aspects of our lives. So this hour that you've set aside to be with me and to learn and engage tonight is that kind of practice. The other way to hold practice, and sometimes we call this capital P practice, because we can become consciously more aware and awake to the actual moments of our lives, and we can observe ourselves and our behaviors while they're happening. And this is really in service of just being more present, you know, more skillful, having choice in the moment as to what we do next. So I want to just stop for one moment and just take a quick second and just feel into each of you how you're practicing right now in this moment. Now, I want to share, that I'm practicing sort of trying not to get drawn away into the fact that I'm talking into the phone, into the ethers, and I don't quite have any visual or feeling cues about what those of you who are listening to me are actually experiencing. So this is one of the first times I've done this, and it's a little bit scary. So what I'm practicing with in this moment and throughout moments of the call will be just to stay on track and to really just rest in more of a trusting place that what I'm saying is making sense and that it will be of some benefit. And maybe right now you all are practicing to stay engaged with what I'm saying, or perhaps you're practicing to ignore your email, or maybe there's sounds coming from the next room, not getting maybe drawn away into kind of pain or feelings that are arising in your body. So there's kind of an infinite amount of ways to practice in this way. And really all it takes is kind of bringing our awareness to what's happening in the moment and seeing, you know, what's there and what choices we have. So both ways of practicing are totally necessary and beneficial, and they actually often complement one another or even lay the groundwork for one another. So when we get up at like 6 a.m. and we do our sitting practice or we do our yoga, we do that maybe to help us be more present in the meeting that we have later on in the day. Or if we cue into the moment of our interaction with our lover or our friend and start to realize by observing what's happening that we need to do some shadow work later on in our designated practice space. So the two kind of work together, and again, are just both necessary and important aspects of practice. And excuse me, I'm just going to briefly take a drink of water. My mouth gets very dry as I speak. Okay. So that's kind of the groundwork, and hopefully that will put everybody on the same page about what practice is. And from here, I want to step into a metaphor that I came up with that I think actually elucidates the different ways we can relate to our personal practice ongoingly and points out another example of a second simplicity, scale or continuum. So when I was actually thinking about this, in preparing for the call, what came to mind was kind of that infamous Nike ad, Just Do It. And I'm sure all of you are familiar with this ad. I certainly hope so. If not, you may not have been out of your house for quite some time. But I think it started in the 90s, and it was one of the most successful ad campaigns I think really ever put forth. And the way that I'm relating this to kind of the second simplicity is starting out with the first simplicity of just do it, right? So it's just that. So this kind of happens when we first wake up, perhaps, when we first know that we want to start a new practice or start a practice at all. We find a new teacher, we find a new community. So we're like totally on in those moments. We're lit up, right? It's like body, mind, spirit, shadow, go, full speed ahead. And for the most part, in these moments or weeks or months or years even, practice is easeful. It's really energizing. It's exciting. We want to engage in it. And the reason we want to engage in it is because it just has direct and felt benefits. And it's just what you do, right? Practice, you practice to continue the process of waking and growing up, period. So we can liken this almost, you know, in a relationship to the honeymoon phase. So we're in love, we're infatuated, you know, and it becomes really easy to prioritize the time and basically, again, just do it. So from there, you kind of hang out for a while, and then life happens. Maybe you aren't deriving as much energy or excitement from the practices that you're doing. Maybe you're not seeing the same results as you once were. Maybe you even feel like that piece that you've been working on has come to fruition and that you've made some serious growth in that area. So this second phase, or the moving into the complexity piece, can be a result of the stirring of life circumstances, right? Things change health-wise. Maybe you can't do the same practices. Demands and responsibilities shift, right? We're faced with brand new challenges. Difficulty happens. Possibly even tragedy happens. So we're seeing things, we're seeing life differently than we once did. And in a way, our life demands almost become more important or kind of take precedence over our practice. So we start to question, is this doing anything at all? Am I done with this? And basically, practice can completely drop off. It can become stagnant, boring, or it can feel like running an uphill battle. Right? And the motivation and attraction that you felt in that first simplicity is just harder to find. The honeymoon's over, if you will. So just do it becomes, well, just do what? Or how do I just do it? Or how often do I need to do it? Or who's going to support me in doing it? And why again am I doing it? So again, this takes on more of a quality of a search, and it becomes complex quickly. And now this isn't really to particularly diss this part of the continuum at all, because this is, I'm speaking of a very natural and kind of necessary part of development and developing kind of an even deeper relationship to your practice. So just like any other relationship, it's going to go through phases. So this is sort of the second, more complex and confusing phase. But what can come out of this phase and what can be really fruitful, because we're starting to examine things or look at things more deeply, is we can begin to recalibrate our practices. We seek out the support we need. You know, we can take a step back and actually hone in on what's important. You know, and we also just begin to balance our life with our practice, right? So we don't keep practice better than life. Life is better than practice. Really, we kind of move back and forth between the two. So I just want to ask everybody real quickly again, because I keep hearing people in the background, to hit star 6. I thought I had muted everybody. If you could quickly hit star 6 for me and make sure you're muted. That would just contribute to the quality of the recording. Okay. Thank you so much for that. Okay, so moving kind of out of that complexity or finding what we've been calling the second simplicity of practice, I even call it a sweetness of practice, right? We realize and we just come to accept sort of the ebbs and flows that are natural with practice. We're able to kind of hold all the questions that were up for us in that complexity period, but we don't fixate on them. And we don't let them prevent us from kind of engaging in some way, shape, or form. We can hold that already wholeness of ourselves and the partness and the different pieces that need to work on. And we also start to see that practice is a lifelong journey, right? It doesn't end. It kind of goes through these ebbs and flows. we're also not in a rush to kind of get it done. We can savor and enjoy it. And we realize sometimes it's going to be awesome and sometimes it's going to be a complete drag. What becomes clearer in this second simplicity is what we need to do and what we need to focus on that's really most present for us right now, right? Either in our life or, as I said earlier, in the moments where we're showing up. And we begin to feel kind of a trust of our practice. We trust ourselves. We trust that we're on a journey. And we're just willing to kind of try it out for a while and see what happens. Our motivations in this period often become more grounded or realistic, right? And we know as we go along, we can kind of course correct, we can dynamically steer things, we can make small tweaks as we go along. And at the end of the day, we bring that right back to just do it, you know, from that higher place of knowing, of being more specific with what we need to be doing, with knowing that there's going to be ebbs and flows, knowing that some days our practice will be on and some days it will be off. And then eventually this whole pattern of practice kind of gets repeated. From the second simplicity, we're just doing it, but our consciousness about just doing it maybe slips into the background, right? Or we get on a great routine, but then it becomes a little bit rote, right? We might find a new teacher, like a practice, or have some big insight that really lights us up and inspires us. And then we start out with that kind of fresh new eyes that's similar to that first kind of just do it moment. So it's actually a constant process and really a metaphor to help us feel out where we are in relationship to our practice right now. And that can be really helpful. But it's also a continuum that can have a weekly, maybe even daily, hourly shelf life, right? So we might feel completely on it and invigorated in our practice today. Tomorrow we may feel off and confused, you know, and then we move into that second simplicity of a grounded and deeper motivation on the third day. So we do have some control over this in that way. And the second simplicity can almost act also like a state experience that we can consciously move ourselves into when we're struggling with our practice. So I want to stop there for just a moment. And I want you to grab your journal and your pen and just reflect back on what I've said and shared with this second simplicity practice continuum. You know, and identify where you think you are now. And that can be right now in this moment, it can be right now this week, whatever comes up for you. And again, it's not static. It might actually feel different tomorrow. Just take a stab at it. So I'll give you just about 30 seconds to do that, and then I'll be right back. Okay, so now armed with that handy metaphor and the notes you took as to kind of wherever you feel like you are on that continuum, I'm going to now move to walk you through an exercise that I think will help aid you in moving into that second simplicity of your practice by really helping you focus up and hone in on what's happening for you right now, what's most present, what most feels like it needs attention. Because I feel when we can identify and kind of connect with that one piece, with that topic that's most pressing right now in our lives, and then align our practice to it, we can in some ways kind of let go of the grip on the whole picture and all the questions that come up and just more easily move beyond the complexity that those questioning moments can create. So no matter where you think you're at on the continuum right now, this exercise can always be done. and is usually pretty beneficial because new topics and areas to work on are always available, always presenting themselves, right? You know, but I wouldn't suggest to necessarily do it every day, you know, because we're going to start with a particular topic and we're going to really hone into that, and we want to give it some time and we want to put our energy towards that particular aim, right? So you can return to this practice, but I say give this one a try and let it go for a couple weeks and see what happens. So in the coaching that I normally do, which is typically one-on-one, I use a lot of different integral lenses to assess where I think the person that I'm coaching is developmentally, and we work together essentially to hone in on a particular topic and a particular coaching program that's specifically targeted to the topic they want to work on, and also what needs to sort of be built in the coachee to see change or some progress in that area. So we can't obviously do that quite like that in this format on this call. But I thought maybe we'd use one of the more useful lenses to help you delineate what that particular thing you want to work on is. So I want to actually offer the quadrants to be able to take a view of your life and see where the issues are arising and where a practice emphasis might need to be focused. So I'm hoping most of you on the call know that the quadrants are one of the five main components of integral theory. And the quadrants really represent four irreducible dimensions of your being. So you have the individual interior dimension, or the upper left, or I domain. You have the individual exterior dimension, the upper right, or the it domain. You have the collective interior dimension, which is also called the lower left, or the we domain. And then you have the collective exterior dimension, the lower right, or the its domain. Now, just to be theoretically sound for a moment, each of these dimensions actually do tetra-arise, or more simply put, they're all happening together at the same time. So issues that are present in one quadrant and practices maybe aim to help one quadrant are always going to have correlates in all the other quadrants. So that's sort of the theoretical rigor, but if we just put that aside for a second, we can also look at one dimension of our lives at a time, and we can use the quadrants as lenses and focus into the different areas of our world to see perhaps where the most suffering is currently happening, right? So as you listen in to this, I'm going to go through each quadrant very briefly and some of the issues that may present in each one. So this is by no means kind of a complete list of issues. But still, I just wanted you to cue into each one and really, as we're going through, feel into where the heat is for you right now. Feel into what aspect of your life, as I'm reading this, contains the most suffering. Right? Okay. Time check. We're doing good. Okay, so we'll start off our little tour in the upper left, or the individual interior, as I said, I dimension, and some of the particular issues that can arise in that dimension are difficult emotions or unhealthy emotional patterns like guilt or fear, regret, resentment, sadness. You might find existential issues. You might be experiencing a disconnection to spirit, to God, or to your religion. You might be experiencing problems with your internal motivation or feeling kind of a lack of passion for what's happening in your life. Also, boredom, malaise, or kind of a general lack of happiness, a lack of self-confidence. Maybe you have, as so many of us do, an overactive internal critic. Or maybe you feel disconnected from an internal compass, or what we call sometimes intuition. So that's the upper left, and again, not a complete list, but a taste. And moving to the upper right, staying in the individual exterior, and this is the it dimension. Some of the issues we could find there is poor nutrition, bad eating habits, lack of energy, maybe too much energy, a searing energy. Maybe you're overweight or underweight. You're making excessive kind of lifestyle choices, too much drinking, etc. Overwork, that's a big one. Lack of exercise, or some kind of illness or allergy. And then moving from that upper right down into the collective, we'll move to the lower left, or the collective interior, or we dimension. And some of the issues that present themselves in that dimension are relationship issues, basically, including leaving a relationship, maybe breaking up, maybe even getting a divorce. Maybe you're experiencing a stagnancy in your relationship, a lack of intimacy or trust. Maybe you find yourself being pretty judgmental of others a lot of the time. Maybe you have difficulty expressing yourself in relationship, having clear and kind of clean communication. And parenting and family issues, which is a whole gamut, often present themselves in the lower left as well. And finally, kind of moving along to the lower right, or the collective exterior, its dimension, we can find a difficulty prioritizing in our lives. Maybe an inability to make and follow through with plans or projects. A chronically messy environment. Maybe you're navigating a career change or a geographical move. Maybe you're wanting to start a business and want to get into the part of business planning. Time management is another one, or money issues is another big one as well. So that kind of completes sort of the tour of the quadrants and a handful of probably what are an infinite number of issues that can be present in our lives that we can work on through practice. But as we took the tour, I want to ask you, which area or quadrant kind of stood out as the area of your life that you think needed the most work? And then within that quadrant, what issue? You know, maybe it was one I read, or maybe, you know, as we kind of went through the upper right territory, something sparked in your mind that is a big one for you to work on. So I'm going to give you a couple of moments to journal about this and to identify this issue just in the clearest possible words. So you want to answer, what's the issue? How's it showing up in your life? And why is it sort of the most salient thing for you to be working on right now? And quickly before we do that, I'll just give you an example from my life in case anyone's lost. So I'm working in the upper left. And one of the big things for me is locating my intuition and feelings more in the moment, such that I can communicate and behave in a way that includes that important information or attends to it. And really, this is most important right now in my life because it actually really hurts to walk away from situations and feel like my full self wasn't present. And maybe some important piece of information, something I felt wasn't shared because it wasn't able to be located. It's just a painful thing. So that's one, again, example, and one example of the kind of detail that you want to put into this next piece. And so I will give you about 3 minutes to grab your journal and pen. And again, what's the issue? How's it showing up in your life? What quadrant does it come from? And what makes it most salient to you right now? So 3 minutes, and I'll be back with you. Okie doke. So that was about 3 minutes, and hopefully y'all are finished or close to it. And you can always come back to it later. But let's move along. So now that you've identified this particular issue that you want to work on, I want you to now feel into your deepest reason for wanting to work on this. So kind of dig through the layers a little bit and really feel into that deepest motivation for creating a practice that's going to attend to this area of your life. So I'm just going to give you an additional minute or two to write about this. And what I want you to do is I want you to write out just one or two sentences that really kind of nail that motivation and try to keep it positive. So a sentence stem that you might use is, I'm working on this topic because if I make progress on it, then. Okay, so to revisit my example, I'm working on this topic because if I make progress on it, then I'll be able to contribute more of my wisdom and feel more of my influence in my experiences and interactions. And this, I think, will help me feel more present, more enlivened, and more like the creator of my life. Okay, so again, I'll give you just a minute. Try to nail the motivation just in one or two sentences and keep it positive with the stem, I'm working on this topic because if I make progress on it, then... Okay, so again, hopefully you're done. You can always come back to this later. So we've taken a tour through the quadrants and some potential issues that show up in the different dimensions of your life. We've identified a particular issue or topic that's really up for you right now in your life. We talked about why that's important and really talked about this kind of the specific and deepest motivation for working on that particular topic. So with that, I'm going to offer some next steps for you to engage beyond this call for a practice. So as you probably already know, the first step to kind of unraveling any unhealthy patterns or issues is to really get to know those issues, really the ins and outs of how you're currently relating to the issue, right? Or in developmental terms, we call this to make what's currently a part of your subjective experience an object, right? To be able to look at it and get some space from it. This is really the first mechanism of development. So the first thing I'm going to offer you to engage along this particular path of practice is actually self-observation. So as you go through your day, right, and you notice this issue coming up, arising, maybe you have feelings around it, maybe there's particular behaviors that you're carrying out or patterns associated with it. What I want you to do is take a moment and just kind of take a big, deep breath down into your belly and then just get curious about what's going on. So look at things like, what's the situation you're in? Who's involved? Who's around? What did you do in response to the situation? What did your body feel in the moment? Did it contract? Did you get nervous? Did it tense up? What happened in your mind, or what's happening now in your mind as you reflect on it? What were you thinking about? How do you feel? Right? Do you feel sad in looking at it? Did you feel scared in the moment? Okay, what's happening in your emotions? So I'm asking you to take kind of both an external view of the situation and the context and an internal view of what's happening in your body, in your mind, your emotions, etc. So again, I'll offer my example. So what I notice every day, particularly when I happen to be around kind of energetic and powerful people, and particularly when I'm caught off guard and didn't have plans to be around them, I feel my body contract, right? My heart rate goes up a little bit. I'm thinking that I'm actually pretty pissed off that this person's intruding into my personal space, you know, without warning. And then I lose sight of what I most need to communicate with them or what I most want to share with them. And then in kind of retrospect, I'm sad when the interaction's done because I feel like I missed an opportunity to share kind of an authentic space with them. Right, so that's just one example of an observation that you'd make and journal about. So if it's possible, it's most ideal to actually carry around your practice journal with you, and it can be a little practice journal, it can be notes on a couple pieces of paper, and sometimes that's a little unrealistic, but if you can, do that. You know, you want to take just a couple of moments as close to what you've noticed as possible to sort of jot down answers to those questions that I posed, both that external and internal view, right? And as so many of us don't have the space and time to do that, if you don't, then at least try to jot down something that will jog your memory later and just remind you of that experience. And then you want to designate a specific time, you know, whether it be evening, morning, whatever it is, and journal about that experience, again, answering the questions and taking kind of an external and internal view. So how often to do this? So you want to do this during your day, basically enough so that you're starting to more readily observe this happening as it comes up in your life. And you do want to feel a little bit challenged and stretched. But what you don't want to do is make it an obsession or do it. So just some general guidelines is, you know, don't let more than a full day go by without kind of some kind of observation. And I would say probably don't do it more than twice a day. So depending on the issue and how often it's arising, you know, between twice a day and on a regular basis, not letting, you know, a whole lot of time go by between engaging it. So also as a part of this exercise once a day, I want you to return to what we did earlier or speak what you wrote down just a few minutes ago, those one or two sentences that really captured your deepest motivation for engaging the practice. So this, what you wrote down, and you can refine it if you like, if you didn't have enough time, or likely more layers of it will come off and you'll find a deeper, even deeper motivation. But this is your daily affirmation, you know, and it can also be used more as a beacon of light, you know, for when things get really difficult, or if you feel off, or, you know, if you start to feel down about what you're seeing, you can return to that sentence or two and learn it, speak it, return to your notes, kind of feel into that, and help. That will help keep you on track. So I want you to observe yourself and the patterns around this topic of interest, you know, consciously for about 2 to 3 weeks. And each at the end of each week, you want to go back through your notes that you've taken in your journal and note kind of any repeating patterns that you're observing more than once. And then after the 3 weeks are up, or once you felt like you're noticing this really readily in the moment, then I just want you to pick one thing to do differently or to try out in the moment when this arises. And then engage this one thing for as long as it takes for that to then become a regular thing that you do in response to this issue arising. And once you reach that threshold, you can add one more layer, right? One more behavior, one more choice, one more activity to engage in the moment. And so forth, right? Until the issue's, you know, not so much of an issue anymore, essentially. So again, going back to my example, the first thing I did in those situations when I would notice this pattern arising was to breathe all the way down into my belly when I felt that kind of body contraction and my heart rate rise. And that was it. That was the first step. And then once I had that down, I began to identify the particular emotion that I was feeling in the moment, right? And I would journal about how that emotion kind of showed up in my life in other ways. I got really curious about what is the texture of this emotion that I'm feeling in that moment. And then as I had my breathing enabled and my ability to cue into the motion, into the emotions I was feeling just more readily and more in the moment, I then took one more step and I practiced sharing my emotions, kind of in a raw and somewhat uncensored way, just once a day, you know, in a situation that I felt was appropriate and safe to do so. You know, and with my partner, I'd even share, hey, this is what I'm practicing with. And so I might off the cuff share just what I'm feeling in the moment as practice to that end, and so on. Right, so as you're going along and as you're building the strength in these practices, you want to continue to self-observe and continue to journal about what you're noticing and the impact of the practices that you're engaging. And really, this will help you to continue to kind of deepen your awareness of this issue in your life. And it will also help you to find the way to build on your practices once it's time to do so. You start to cue in on like specific little nuances and little things that you can add as you go along if you're really continuing that self-observation and getting down and dirty and journaling. And then once you feel like that sort of a newer way of being has actualized and this topic is not as present or as pressing in your life, you can then return back to this call and you can start again with a brand new issue, you know, that in the meantime it's kind of crept up and has become kind of the pressing issue for you. And I think as you engage with this over time, you'll start to feel more of that just do it kind of continuum of practice that I talked about earlier, sort of unfolding in your life. You know, you'll get in a groove, right, and then things maybe fall apart a bit. You know, you don't do it for a couple days. You know, and you can come back to the exercise and work through the confusion and the complexity. And then again, moving to just doing, just do it, trusting kind of that you're solid on the path, you are moving ahead, you know, and that you have really the support that you need to do it. And to that end, I want to offer that if you do get really stuck, you know, sometimes this sounds a little bit easier than it actually is, I will offer just one short free email response to questions that you send to me. I can't get into a lot of engagement, but a little bit I'm happy to do and happy to get you unstuck. And my email for that is nfegley, that's F as in Frank, E-G-L-E-Y, @gmail.com. All right, so we have about 12 minutes left until 7 o'clock Mountain. And so as we've walked through that, any questions that have come up, any comments, any insights, love to hear from you. So if you'd like to speak or ask a question, if you would hit *6 on your phone, that will unmute you and you'll be able to speak. And so jump on in. And if you would, if you're interested and up for it, you know, just give me your first name, maybe, and where you're calling from. That'd be really helpful. And if you're not up for that, that's cool too. We are recording, so.
Nicole?
Yes.
My name is Lawrence. I'm calling from Austin, Texas.
Hey, Lawrence.
First of all, wonderful, wonderful information. I was looking through when we were talking about the issues from all the quadrants. What do you do when you find that you're overwhelmed with issues in every quadrant? How do you decide what deems your priority at that moment?
Yeah, great question. Great, great question. Yeah, because we all have issues in every quadrant, I'm sure. You know, and I think that's really where a couple things come up. One of them is patience, right? Again, practice is a lifelong journey. You know, new subjects, new topics will arise as we go on, as we're presented with new challenges, right? Some of the same issues might creep up in different facets, in different times in our life, right? And so I'd say really just, you know, what, you know, as you wake up in the morning, you know, what feels most present? You know, what maybe feels more fundamental even? Right, so you might have a particular issue around self-confidence, say, you know, and then that self-confidence issue makes it difficult for you to communicate with others, let's say, right? So if you look at it like that, you can say, okay, so I actually probably need to work on the confidence piece first before I can then move into more of a communication practice. So sometimes the issues stack up like that. And sometimes we just have to cultivate just patience and say, you know, what do I feel up for working on? What do I feel like is going to be the most fruitful thing for me to work on? You know, what can wait? You know, and you can also work multiple issues at once. I don't suggest doing too many. I really think focus is the best way to go. And one other thing I'll say about that is, I was going to talk about this earlier, but I didn't think we'd have the time. But also there's something working around preference, right? So I always seem to come up with lower left issues. I orient from the lower left, right? And I'm kind of constantly working in that we territory. So that's something that's like kind of another level of what topic to work on is getting curious about what keeps coming up. Right, and preference doesn't necessarily mean that you shouldn't work on it, but you might be kind of hanging out in that area because you're favoring that, or you find it, you know, the practices in that area are easiest to work on, or you know, just kind of get curious to a next level of, you know, what quadrant you're gravitating from or towards. So that's probably a lot. I don't know if that was helpful.
Oh, that's wonderful. Very helpful.
Cool. Did you have any other questions or anything else I can expound on?
For that, I think it's that and finding that deeper motivation for that practice of that change, you know, and being able to prioritize them in each quadrant.
Yeah, you know, and don't get lost in thinking too hard about it. You know, like just feel into it, commit to it, and try it out for a while. Right, so that's moving from the complexity to the second simplicity, right? I know there's all these issues, I know there's tons of stuff to work on, but like this is what I feel, I'm going to move in that direction, and as much as I can, I'm going to stay focused in that for a certain period of time, you know, and just commit and move into that second simplicity place.
Okay. Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you. Got about 6 or 7 minutes left. Hello?
Okay. Nicole?
Yeah.
My name is Sue. I'm in
Hey,
Minneapolis.
Sue.
And so my question is, and this is probably, and I end up in outward, and maybe this is more that lower left, but I find, and I wonder if other people find dealing with, when you've moved beyond simplicity, probably beyond the complexity, and you're into that second simplicity level or that higher developmental level, and you're working with a lot of people that aren't there. I mean, I really struggle with how to, you know, just, I don't know, I just struggle with how to interact with that. And I don't, you know, and that's something that I find myself stuck in with, whether it's my kids, my partner, my business, that they're at a level that I cannot, we're not connecting. And it's really important in all three for me that I connect. And maybe I need to not focus on that and more focus internally. So I'm just wondering if other people find that and what your thoughts are on that.
Well, thank you, Sue. And it's certainly something that I've heard come up definitely more than once. You know, and I think that's the edge, you know, for you to work. That is in and of itself a practice. You know, you were once at their level. You were once kind of struggling with the issues that they're struggling with. You were needing the things that they need. So to kind of be able to touch in with compassion, again, with patience, you know, those are different aspects that you can actually work on in your practice. And it's not easy. You know, it's really, it's difficult and it's a struggle. But you're going to encounter much, much, much more of people, you know, that may be, quote unquote, at a lower level of development or struggling with things that you're no longer struggling with or not seeing the world in the same way that you're seeing. So your capacity to make a difference in those people's lives or to serve those people or to be compassionate is just, it's everywhere. And it's endless. So, yeah, I don't have exact answers to that, but I know that it is something that I've definitely heard that people struggle with, and the key there, I think, is compassion and patience, and that might be the topic that you want to work on. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, it does. I just think, like you said, it's a struggle when a lot of people aren't there, and just how do you interact with that, and then how do you bring them to a different level so that they're interacting at a different level? So, but that's helpful. Thanks.
Yeah, and bringing them to another level or getting them to communicate at your level, that's a slippery slope. That's very tricky, and, you know, they're on their own growth path, you know, and it's it would be nice, but it's, you know, not necessarily your responsibility, and it's their territory to traverse, basically.
It's very challenging, I think, to then operate in all those different areas with that. I've just found it very challenging.
Yes, absolutely. Yep. There's a term called carpet burn. And that's what you're experiencing. The term Ken uses.
Interesting.
Thank you
okay,
for sharing
thank you.
That. Yeah,
yep.
Absolutely. We've got about 2 minutes. Are there any last or burning questions?
Hello.
Hello.
Yes. What if you have an issue that you've been working on for a long time, and it doesn't seem to be, and you've looked at it from lots of points of view, and it still resistant to being changed.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Welcome to being human, right?
Yeah.
you know, if you can, seek out support.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that would be my best suggestion, because there might, it's always just really, really helpful. And support can come in a lot of different ways, right? It can be, you know, it could be a book, it could be a friend, it could be a coach, it could be a therapist, right? But having just another perspective on what you're going through and dealing with, especially with someone that knows you well or can get to know you well,
mm-hmm.
or is trained, I think is really the best answer to that.
Okay.
You know, and again, it keeps coming up, patience.
mm-hmm.
You know, and sometimes our issues, as I'm sure you probably all know, are, you know, also part of who we are, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Part of our kind of our deep structures, our personality, they often have a very beautiful and light side to them. People might even like them. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So to get to just recognize that, to hold that, you know, and to get support if you can, is what I'd recommend.
Okay. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Good.
All right, y'all, it is 7 o'clock. Our hour is through. Unless there's any really burning questions, I will bid you adieu. And thank you just deeply for being with me on the call, for your great questions. And I just really hope that this was of service.
Yes, it was. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Everyone have a great weekend, and I will talk to y'all next Thursday on our integration call with Mark, Clint, Zach, and me.
Excellent.
Thanks, everybody.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Take care.
Bye.